All right, guys. Just a quick mention. I guess the cultures I've been kind of looking at lately is the Nigerian Igbo Omenala culture, the South African Sangoma culture, with those are traditionalist types of groups, and then there's this holiday in India that I got introduced to from Drew Binsky, one of his more recent videos. Let me see if I can find it in my history. Drew Binsky. The holiday festival is called Dussehra. I don't know if that's what it's really called. Dussehra. It's in India. And it's like a 12 minute video of Drew Binsky recording. I think the title is I Went to India's Most Extreme Festival, something. I can't see the rest of the title because the thumbnail. I can't see the rest of the title with the thumbnail. It's small, but yeah, so I can't see the full title, but if I get into that, I'll talk about it at another time. But one thing I'm noticing is very interesting is coming across footage or video clips or information that is not readily available on YouTube. Now, that is something that I find very interesting. For something to not be readily available on YouTube or not available in English. Now, I'm not super biased. It's just, you know, the internet in general. Yes, there's stuff in other languages, but YouTube in general and the internet in general does cater more towards English-speaking audiences. So I both like it. I do like this. I like that it's hard for me to find information in English about certain things. I mean, it's harder to learn about it, obviously, but even with my own Ndebele culture, there are quite a few really cool history videos where there's like elders speaking about, you know, the history of the Ndebele people and talking about all this cool stuff, or like these old these older women, these elder ladies talking about things. And if there's no one there to translate, they're just recording, and the information goes into the recording. But unless you speak the language, you don't know what the people are saying. You can kind of make out some of it sometimes, because sometimes people mix in English words, and if there's like visuals, you can kind of see. But if you don't know a language, it's really hard to learn about these like traditional things. And okay, so one thing, the reason why I mentioned Drew Binsky is because when I've been studying these different African groups, my own culture, as well as I think I kind of went into Nigerian because that was the first thing that kind of came up. And Nigerians are all over YouTube. Like, they've been all over YouTube. They have a lot of content about Igbo culture, about their foods, about like African parents and different things like that. Like, a lot of the content I find from Africans of like millennial and Gen Z and Gen Alpha generations tends to be Nigerian people. And a lot of Nigerians value Western education. They get education. They know how to use technology. I mean, if you watch, I'm not saying base all your beliefs or understanding of Nigerian culture on Netflix. Don't do that. But Netflix does have a lot of very interesting movies and series out of Nigeria. Like, I think the majority of their African content is from Nigeria now, I think. The last time I checked, it was. And it was really good. It was really fun to watch the stories. But you really do see, like, the disparity between maybe, like, the haves and the have-nots. And there's a side of Netflix that there's a side of African culture that I see shown on Netflix that you don't see everywhere else. You know, you're seeing people living in mansions with servants and security guards and going to private schools with uniforms. And well, a lot of schools have uniforms in African countries, but and a lot of schools are private schools, but you know, you're seeing people who have accumulated some kind of wealth, own businesses. Like, there's these in-depth storylines of these family units that are kind of now newly modern and successful by Western standards. But when you watch the movies or the series, you're like, culturally, these are not Western people. They don't act like them. There's like a system of like what role you're gonna play in society, if you're a man, if you're a woman, if you're a husband, a wife, a child to your parents. You know, you're in front of elders, you know, how students are in school and how seriously they take studying and how the job market might be, and just these themes of stories that you see coming up. And I think there's valuable information in there. So for people who aren't aware of it, if you do subscribe to a super expensive Netflix subscription, I think that's probably a place where a lot of people haven't ventured, is into the African movies. Because I do find it interesting that, you know, there's a lot of Nigerian culture shown in movies. It's almost like India. They've become very technologically advanced too. It's just some countries you might not have a lot of opportunity, even if you do get a good education. And so I just wanted to bring that up because it is something that I find very interesting. And the reason why I'm mentioning it is because I would say, maybe I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say Nigerians, compared to most African groups, Nigerians probably have the biggest online presence as far as like having movies on Netflix, being all over on YouTube. You see them in a lot of black spaces with like black entrepreneurs. A lot of Nigerians come out on Anthony O'Neill. Anthony O'Neill used to work on with Dave Ramsey. A lot of Nigerians and Africans in general, you know, might have kids in another state or send them to have kids in other countries. Like, I was raised in the U.S. and born in the U.S., but half of my family isn't even from this country. And, you know, other than two other cousins on my dad's side, or one other cousin on my dad's side, there are no other American-born cousins. Like, all my cousins, except for maybe, like, the Gen Z cousins, I think they might be, some of them might have been born in the U.S., some of them weren't. So we have that as a as something that, it, you know, I use as like a framework when I'm talking about, I'm using that as a framework to talk about these traditionalist cultures, because it is interesting that a culture that you see that speaks English, that makes a lot of movies, that, you know, holds true to their culture but does have like an in with Western society, you can tell they're not like trying to spread their religion, you know, they're, it's like insider information, they're keeping it for them, speaking to their people. They're not talking to me or other people who can't really speak the language, they're talking to people who already speak it. They're not trying to like convert people or whatever, they're trying to educate their own people. And that, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't think they're saying everybody get away, don't even practice this, but it's like, it's part of, I think from what the first man in the video, from what, am I still recording? Okay. Oh my gosh. My phone is trying to update. So I thought it was going to kick me off the app. Almost everything kicks me off this app. So where was I? What was I talking about? So yeah. I was trying to get the guy's name. I don't know if I wrote it down. I don't know if I'm going to have his name. I took some screenshots, but I... No, I didn't even take screenshots. Oh, I did. What does it say? No, I think he did say his name. I took a screenshot of the word Omenala, or he says Omenani, about the tradition. He said his name before that, and I can't go back and rewind it while I'm watching this. But that was at, I don't know, at the very beginning, after the intro, somewhere in the first couple minutes. So, the guy with the type of cap on, you see him introducing, and I think he spoke after one of the Christian ladies, but... Yeah, it's something interesting to me that it's hard to find information that's in English. That to me is, like, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's not easy. Like, usually when I search something in English, if it's popular, it's going to come up. Almost all the time it's going to come up. Multiple things are going to come up. These are one of the first times I'm searching something more recently in life, and things are not coming up. And that's why I mentioned that Drew Binsky video in India. It doesn't really have, to my understanding, doesn't seem to have much to do about African culture. Not that I know of. I've heard some theories about, you know, Africans and dark-skinned Indian people and, like, I don't really know. I really honestly don't know at all. But I'm not even in that topic, so I cannot say. I've heard about this four race theory, and you know, there's a lot of different things I've heard. But with Drew Binsky, the reason why I thought it was interesting is because he was saying he was one of the only foreigners or white people, or I don't know if he said foreigners or white people, that they've ever seen, like, really at that festival in that village. And I think he said people all over India celebrate it, but it sounds like not everybody goes to that place. And then that kind of made me realize, you know, because nowadays, I mean, when you're into looking at cultural information from just all over the place, nowadays when I see something different, I'm like, oh, that's something I haven't heard of before. It's very rare, honestly, that that I come across something that I've never heard of before, like, ever, like, that doesn't have any connection to any other thing. So it is kind of interesting to kind of start at, like, you know, the ground level and trying to, like, dig information up from the ground level instead of having a foundation already. That's a different style of learning for me. 'Cause, I mean, it's just mostly different because I'm usually, when I'm talking about, like, religions and spirituality, as you probably notice, it's usually from, like, you know, I use, like, biblical kind of framework. And it's not, I think the reason why I use it the most is because it's easy for me, because I have a foundation in it. Even if it's ideas that aren't what I was raised with, or things I don't believe now, or maybe I used to believe, or things that I don't agree with, or things that I'm completely against, or things that I'm, like, totally aligned with, you know. And I think you can find, you know, helpful, valuable information from all cultures. I don't really sit in judgment of cultures I don't know and just look at them and be like, oh, they're, like, possessed, you know, they're demon possessed, don't watch that, like. But when I saw that Drubinsky video, just a trailer, just the, like, intro of it, I was, you know, immediately like, oh, I'm curious if there's gonna be a bunch of, like, Christians in the comments being like, oh, this is demon possession or whatever. And I think, was it Drubinsky? I think he pinned a comment to the top of that, to the comments of that video. And I think he said he was sick for 3 weeks after, it sounded like his throat and sinuses. He said it was due to, the, like, being around all the fire and smoke. But, you know, myself being raised in, like, a Christian environment, and I'm not saying I even fully believe this, but this is where my head goes, because I'm already primed to think like this. My head goes to, did he kind of, like, get, like, some kind of a spirit attached to him? Not a demon or whatever, but I do think that's possible, you know? I think it's possible for other people's, I'll put it this way, other people's spiritual issues can rub off of onto other people. And it doesn't have to be, like, such a deep, like, oh, it's a demon possession thing. Not like that. I just mean, if you've ever been around, like, bitter people or lived in a house with bitter people, it's really hard to kind of keep your mood up. If you've been in a place that's, like, a heavy space, like, kind of, like, where you've been, if there's been, like, trauma there, or, like, even not even of yourself or your own people, but even people who say that they visit places, like in Austria and places where there were, Poland and places where there were, like, concentration camps, people say there's, like, a heavy feeling there. And, like, you know, there are certain places where it's just, like, heavy, like, the energy is heavy. And you might not even know why, you know? And so I'm wondering if there was something, I don't know, maybe it was just the fire and the smoke. But to me, 3 weeks seems like a really long time to be dealing with something. I mean, I've never been around fire and smoke that bad, I don't think. But I've been around, like, really intense bonfires and really smoky places. I don't know if it takes more than like a week, or like a little over half a week, to get, like, over something. And my sinuses are pretty sensitive, and I light incense, not all the time, but a little bit. I do it in little pieces, like small pieces, like an inch of a piece pretty much. And to me, that's plenty of smoke in my room, and I usually don't light like a whole stick or like multiple sticks. Or even if I light candles, if they're scented, it kind of can get to my sinuses. So I could imagine maybe being around that for like a whole day. Maybe it does affect you longer. I don't know if I've been in a space for longer than, how long is a bonfire? Like a few hours? And you can kind of, you know, you don't sit where the wind is blowing in your face usually. So, where the wind is blowing smoke in your face. So, I don't know. But that was just something that came up. I didn't really see a lot of people talking about demon possession, which I liked that I didn't see that. It might be in there. I just didn't go that deep into the comments because I was kind of trying to learn about other stuff. But that Drew Binsky video, I think a lot of people looking at it with like Western Christian eyes would be like, they would find something wrong with it. And you know, when I went to search for videos about that festival practice, that tradition in India, I was met with the same situation where there's really not a lot of information in English about it, and the people who are talking about it aren't really talking to the Western world. And I think the reason why, you know, in some of these other traditions, why you don't really see it in English so easily is that, you know, people aren't trying to convert you. They don't care if you believe what they believe. They're just practicing their own thing privately or with their own community and, you know, doing these things. And they don't really, you know, it's so deeply rooted in their culture and as part of who they are, with different ethnic groups and tribal groups and things, that they don't really care if other people know. So they're not trying to like reach like the widest, you know, group of people. They're just trying to, if they are talking about it, it's like home video style or like to show people of their own culture. They're not trying to like spread the word to like the United States or whatever. Like, they don't really care. Which is, I like seeing that. I like seeing minority cultures having information that is their tribal information. I'm not saying people shouldn't share it. I'm just saying I like that. Because it's rare for me. It's rare for me to have to really dig into stuff and, like, really look. Even with my own, you know, background. Not Nigerian, but my own background. I have an uncle who wrote a paper or, like, an article or something. And the information that he talked about with Zimbabwe spirituality, I think he was comparing Nebele culture and Shona culture. He had a lot more to report about Shona culture and very little about Nebele culture. And so, and this was like, I think from back in like the 80s he was writing this, and still when I look for the same information, I'm barely finding what he wrote about in like the 80s. But it's like the same thing over and over and over and over again, like worded differently. There's not different information. So unless you go to the people and talk to them, I don't know if there's any other way of learning. So I'm debating, I might go that route, I don't know. I've never really reached out to other people with this podcast or any others. I've never really tried to, like, get other people involved. But I would at least like to talk to people who could, like, shed some light, you know. Because, mean, I think people tune in here because they also find these topics interesting and want to know more about people from different parts of the world and what's working for them. What are they doing? Why are they doing it? And trying to come at things from, you know, an open-minded perspective. Just like I said, like, it can be hard to look at a video where somebody's doing something where I was taught, oh, like, if I saw these people walking around on my street like that, I would automatically assume, you know, being in a trance state, being in a state of trance, and they don't do it through substances either, I believe. I believe they do it through a 41-day fast. And I don't know, with Christianity, everything that's not Christianity is wrong. And so, I mean, there really is no room for exploration. You're just taught, oh, it's wrong. But I think something that's kind of breaking that barrier a little bit, it's kind of knocking at the door, is a few things. I'd say a few things, maybe. I only said one, but now I'm thinking there's maybe like 3-4 things. I could be wrong, but I think there's like 3-4 things that are opening people's minds lately. I would say one of those things is mental health and physical health programs, talking more about stress release and sleep hygiene, and how meditation and yoga plays a role. Now, when people are in with a therapist or talking to their doctor about their anxiety or whatever it may be, or, you know, needing like some kind of like needing to add like yoga or Pilates to some kind of, you know, routine for like flexibility and strength, usually people aren't like, your doctor's not like praying with you and having some kind of like spiritual connection. You know, it's straight like science. We're gonna talk about, you know, empirically used studies that show that, you know, that are validated, and you can, you know, see results with most people or many people by using the same kind of like textbook practices. And meditation and yoga, not too long ago, I remember when I was growing up, people were so like against them. And now you hear people, like, they've taken out like the spiritual part of it, like, you're not doing any kind of Indian practice, but it's there, like, you're doing meditation, you're doing yoga, it's there. That's one thing. I would say another thing would be microdosing psilocybin, or just CBD. I would say those are less controversial than psychedelics and cannabis in general. But I would say they're less controversial because they don't, like, microdosing doesn't get you any kind of high or any psychedelic effects, and CBD doesn't have any psychoactive properties. But these are more widespread now. Even in non-legal states, people can get them from nearby legal states. Like, it's easier to get now. Especially CBD products. Like, I feel like you could pretty much always get cannabis, but CBD products, just CBD alone, that's something that I never knew was, like, something you could really get up until cannabis, with the conversation about, like, recreational, legal, and medical started coming up. So I've noticed these things: meditation, yoga, microdosing, and CBD. Microdosing psilocybin, which is, for people who don't know, what people refer to as magic mushrooms. Microdosing some strain of those, where you get the effects, but you don't get high from it. CBD doesn't get you high either. You don't get stoned off of CBD. If you do get stoned, it's probably not only CBD in there. It'll put you to sleep. It'll help you relax. It helps with anxiety. Same with yoga. It can help you with stress. It can help you with strength. It can help you with posture. It can help you with flexibility, deep stretching. Meditation can help you with focus. It can help you with stress release and decrease anxiety, depression. And microdosing psilocybin does all of those, all of the above. So I've seen, you know, little fight from the Christian church about these topics, which is good in my opinion, but, you know, I definitely grew up with the don't do drugs kind of thing, and it's maybe because I live in California that these are kind of more, like, normal topics. I don't know, if I went to, like, Tennessee or, like, I don't know, Alabama, I mean, do people think the same? I don't really know, but out here, you know, people have embraced all of these things for, like, years now at this point, and, at least around me, they have, and people are noticing benefits from other things like that, that, you know, the Christian religion in general was often teaching them, don't go anywhere near it. You know, don't go anywhere near shrooms. Don't go anywhere near any kind of cannabis product. Don't go anywhere near yoga and meditation and Eastern thought. And people have been not, like, religiously doing these things, but incorporating them into, like, their lifestyle balance practices throughout their weeks and stuff. And they've noticed some benefit to their lives. A lot of people have. And I think it's led people to question a lot lately of, like, okay, we were taught all these things were wrong, but when I do them and I'm responsible, and even if I'm just dabbling a little bit and not doing it for some religious reason or some psychedelic trip or anything, then I'm getting some effect from it. I'm getting some benefit from it. And like I said, I don't know where the church stands on all this, but I think it does help people have a little more open mind towards other topics outside of Christianity. And I think that's why a lot of people are looking for more information, you know, something that's not so condemning. Like in the previous episode, I talked about, you know, the qualities of a person who's gonna wear that Omanala traditional Igbo cap. The qualities that a person has to have seem very value based. It almost reminds me of, you know, the reflections during Kwanzaa. It's, you know, I feel like it's pretty focused. And people just do it in their own way. They're not trying to, like, get new members or have some ego trip over it. They're just, I mean, I'm sure there are ego trips in every group of people around the world. But yeah, it's just kind of, like, different. And I like it, you know? I like that it's hard for me to find this information. I like that, I like that people are, talking to their own people about it. I like learning about groups of people and traditions and, you know, tribal traditions where people kind of just do their own thing, and they're not very, they don't find it very important to kind of, you know, make other people aware. They just practice and live, 'cause in their heart they're doing the right thing. They're living their life the way they believe they should, and, you know, they don't look at it as we're doing some kind of bad thing. I do think that the Christian church judgment is one thing that really turns me off, and I almost wish that I never, like, I guess I'm glad that I was raised in a really strict Christian Adventist environment just to have that experience, but part of me wishes that, you know, when I looked at certain videos, I wouldn't automatically have my mind go to, like, oh, is this some kind of possession or something? Is this trans state something wrong? I mean, I like psychedelics and psychoactive, you know, supplements and things. I'm not against that kind of stuff. So it's hard for me to really be like, oh, like, that's wrong. Being in a trans state like those people is wrong. But I can sit here and eat an edible and be on whatever level I'm going to be on, you know, because I had however many milligrams of it. And those are conscious decisions that I make for my own reasons, and I find value in it. And I didn't learn that at church, you know? But, I mean, you know, I don't really see too much of a difference between a 41-day fasting trans state, taking an edible, and in 2 hours being there, taking, you know, some shrooms, and then, like, 30 minutes being there. To me, it's kind of hard to see, like, a true difference. Like, when I saw the people in those, in the video about India, where the people were, you know, kind of yelling and screaming and stuff, part of me looked at that and I was like, I think it's healthy for that stuff to come out, you know. Like, have you ever been to, like, a concert and you've just danced for, like, hours and hours on end? Or you go out and you sing at karaoke, or you're in the car driving, if you like metal, you're, like, screaming along to the music, you know, or playing guitar, and it's really heavy music, and it's, like, System of a Down, or, like, Slipknot, or something, and you're playing something pretty heavy. It's, like, that stuff needs to come out. Like, I think it's healthy for it to come out. Like, let it out. And that's kind of what I saw in that festival, was these people in the trans states looked like they were letting this energy out. I feel like in the U.S., I think we get it from our English brethren, from the British, this kind of, like, uptightness. Like, people don't let loose. They don't want to let go, you know. And I think a lot of stuff needs to be let go. It needs to come out. And a lot of what people say is, like, possession, like demon possession. Not demon possession per se, but a lot of what people look at and say, oh, these people are possessed, or this trans state is doing something wrong to them. It's like, well, it's helping them release all this stuff, you know. I've definitely experienced it with different things, you know. Stuff comes out, you know. And it's good, you know. That stuff needs to come out. or else it's going to come out in really unhealthy ways, like anger and, you know, lack of sleep, stress, you know, lashing out at people, being irritable all the time, just tense, and, you know, feeling like you're just gonna, like, snap or something. Like, when people start feeling all that, like, anger, and there's no, like, particular reason, they need to release that, you know? Even if it's in, like, a workout, go run. You know? Like, get it out, you know? But yeah, like, that's kind of all I have to say about that. You know, I think we're coming up on something interesting just by how hard it is to find certain content, you know, and finding it in English. So, I don't know. That's about all I have to say, but that's it for now.